like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
All right, some interesting stories that we're going to get into. One's a national but also local story, so we'll talk about that. But how about last night? The Golden State Warriors make some adjustments after that first quarter. Pays off big time as they found a way to course correct things in the second quarter. They win big over the Lakers, 127 to 100, to tie this series at one game apiece. They went small. They removed Looney, who'd actually been tearing it up in the playoffs, like 20 rebounds a night kind of guy. They removed him from the starting lineup. They replaced him with former Denver Nugget, Jamichael Green. And that worked out for him. Steph Curry said, it's about using our strengths to our advantage. You have to give up something. So as long as we're decisive and our floor is spaced properly, usually we can find a good shot, and then you've just got to knock them down. And that's what they did last night. Golden State tied the series up. Rick George has spoken, the athletic director for the University of Colorado, about all of the transfers and everything going on with Coach Primetime and this roster. Here's what George had to say. He told ESPN, again, national news, folks, "I have confidence in him and his staff, and they know what they're doing. He's been very honest and forthright. He's been very open about it publicly and privately. He's trying to build a winner at Colorado, and this is the way to do it." It is, I guess, but it's a lot.
How would he know? No, this is how you do it. Are you sure? Are you sure?
That was good. How would Rick George know?
What were you doing the last 10 years?
That's very true. That caught me off guard. That was good, Angel. That's what I'm here for. Well, they had a lot of players leave, man. The exodus began before Sanders arrived. So there, in fairness, it was happening a little bit before. But according to ESPN stats and information, 71 players have entered the portal since August, which includes those who left following the 1-11 season. Get this little depressing note. Since the portal's beginning, since its inception in 2018, Colorado by far has had the most players enter, as Arkansas State had the second most with 50. No other school has had more than 48. That's the thing. That's why it's a big story, because they have the amount of players that are leaving it. George pointed to an NCAA rule that allows first-year head coaches to cut scholarship players. I didn't know that. But also said there are some players who wanted to leave following spring practices. Well, there you go. Rick George says it's fine. This is how you build a winner. Try not to make fun of him, because I'm excited about it. But that was good, Angel. That was good. Okay, tell me about pitch counts in high school.
Yeah, I just saw this story just pop up on my Twitter feed from Barstool Sports. This is out of Ensworth, Tennessee. Their baseball season is over after it had to forfeit a win due to a TSAA pitch count violation. Vanderbilt commit Connor Cobb threw a no-hitter with 16 strikeouts. His 120 pitches were just one over the max of 120.
Oh, wow. I mean, rules are rules. You went over it. You got to know that.
So the count was self-reported by their head coach, Jason Maxwell.
Good job, Maxwell. To be honest.
The penalty for this, for a first-time pitch count violation, is a forfeit, a $50 fine, and a one-game suspension for the team's head coach.
So the season's over. If that would have been a win, would they have moved on to the playoffs or something?
Well, they did win.
Oh, that was it.
It was a shutout.
But I thought they forfeited the game. They didn't forfeit the game?
Well, yeah. But they won the game, and then they gave him the pitch count and said, oh, you're one over, so, they lost.
So was that game to go into – what game was that? Was that a regular or a playoff game?
That was a playoff game.
Okay.
So they're done.
So that was a playoff game. Wow.
They were trailing their best of three series 1-0.
Oh, so they could have tied
her
up.
They would have tied their series.
Tied her up, but the coach's honesty came in. Well, it's better to be honest than try to cover it up, I guess, because that could have been really bad.
That's one pitch.
You got it. It's the rules.
So if you go back in any point in that game, one pitch that a player may have fouled off, mm-hmm. that could have been a strike.
Yeah.
That was it.
That was it. What do you think about that?
I get it for player safety concerns.
Well, you know, there's coaches that would abuse the hell out of that if they didn't do a pitch count.
You know, high school pitchers, you're not seeing guys throw 6-7 innings. You'll throw maybe 2-3 before you knew.
Yeah, probably.
Because you're not trying to wear out your shoulder or your elbow or anything, because, like you said, this guy was a Vanderbilt commit. He's going to play college baseball at one of the best programs.
Yeah, well, and if you didn't have the... Like, my initial reaction to that story when you told me during break was... Pitch count's stupid, but I feel like
plus five exception.
I don't know, maybe in the playoffs.
In the playoffs, maybe
there should be an exception.
A shutout, no hitter.
Playoffs should be an exception. No pitch count, or should there be no pitch count at all? My problem with no pitch count at all, because I'll be honest, before we had this discussion, I didn't know there was a pitch count in high school. I mean, I always just thought it was like suggestive, like in the major leagues, where it's like. Yeah, you don't want them pitching upwards close to the 90s and 100s.
Well, like I said, it doesn't happen often.
But if you...
120 pitches for one player, not just your whole team.
That's a lot of freaking pitches still, though. It's a lot. But
so they could have had a bullpen guy come in for that last out, and they'd be fine.
There should be no pitch count in the playoffs. If you're going to do it during the regular season, fine. Because I think coaches will abuse that. There's some that would have used that. But who's this coach? What's his name? Maxwell? What's his last name?
Yeah. Coach Maxwell.
Good for him, right? Are parents pissed at him, or are they applauding him for his honesty?
I mean, it's the rule. I imagine you have to keep track of your pitches, and you have to report it to the baseball people.
If it got found out that you covered it up and lied, then you could get in major, major trouble. Right. So,
and even that's like above the team. That goes to like the school liability.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
If you're putting a kid, if he's over exceeding his work effort in a game where it's supposed to be regulated,
Yeah. I just, maybe during the playoffs, all those kind of rules go out the window.
It was a foul ball for sure. It had to be.
Had to be. Yeah. Oh, that
like
sucks.
You would know, like, oh, you're one pitch away from the limit. And then you go, here's 120, it's fouled off, you got to throw one more, and it's just a strike.
Mm. Wouldn't that suck?
Sorry, kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you got to go play. Are they good at baseball, though?
They're very good
at baseball. Well, there you go. He doesn't care.
Not good at anything else but baseball.
Baseball's the sport. That's where he's going. Eastside Chris is talking about the coaching thing. We're talking about Budenholzer being fired by Milwaukee, two playoffs away from winning a championship. He says, talking about head coaches, guys, it's like a construction site. A foreman or super is only as good as the crew working under him or her. Lots of egos and chirping. Yeah, but you still need the foreman, right? You can't just have it all like everybody does whatever they want when they want to do it. You got to have somebody that sets the ground rules and somebody that's the boss.
On a project that was like a $1 million mansion, and it's the most beautiful project he's ever done. And then 2 years later, you're building... You know, maybe a nice little two-story family house, and oh, we can't get the stairs in order. Up, foreman, you're out.
Text coming in. David says the damn coach should know the count. Probably,
yeah.
But you're in the heat of the moment. It's amazing. It's playoffs. You shouldn't have count playoffs. It's playoffs. It's big
just
boy
like
time.
A plus five. You know, just a little cushion.
Not even that. Just it's the playoffs. You pitch until your arm falls off. I don't care if you're 12.
We'll do that and say, hey, this kid can't play in the next game.
Yeah, fine. It's fine. But it's the playoffs.
Rules are rules.
There's no tomorrow if you lose. You rest up at the end of the season.
They would have had a shot, though.
Grab some ice. It's true. Blake, quote of the year. How would you know? That's your quote of the year.
Genuine question.
How would you know?
Mr. George.
It is pretty funny, though. Dion's doing it exactly the right way. We know that's what it takes to build a champion. I know from experience.
How do you know? Well, Prime told me.
Yeah, he told me that. I read that in How to Be a Champion book that I wrote
myself. I'm sitting in his office just kind of staring at him, and he was just speaking. And that was the one thing I picked out. This is how we win. Got it. The headline.
How to win. Here, Google it. How to win in college
that's fascinating,
football.
Coach. That's how you win, huh? I just wasted 10 years.
What happens if you Google that? Like if Rick George is, how to win in college football. Oh, first thing comes up, how to bet on college football. All right, didn't really want that, but might as well. I've got $50 burning a hole in my pocket. It's all gambling. So you can't. There's no just winning in sports anymore. It's all about gambling. No, I want to know how to win football games. What do I do? What can I do to pump up my coach and make sure we're winning? Guess you can't. You can't Google it. There's no winning football games for dummies out there. I like Rick George. He's fine. I mean, there's pressure on him, but he's fine.
Just say I totally guessed on the 10 years thing. He's actually been there for 10 years.
Rick George?
Yeah.
Who's he had as a head coach just football under him? McIntyre, Mel Tucker, Carl Durrell, and now prime time?
Back to 2013 is when he started.
Who was it McIntyre at that time? I mean, you should know this, Angel. List memorable times. Google it. Efforting music. I don't want people to hear me typing. List of CU Buffs head coaches. I think it was McIntyre. At that point. So you had McIntyre. You had Mel Tucker. In fairness, Mel Tucker was, it seemed like that was going to work. Yeah, because John Embry was right before McIntyre. Yep, so Mike McIntyre was the Pac-12 Coach of the Year in 2016. So you know what? Rick George does know a thing or two. That was that crazy year where they were like, wasn't that Philip Lindsay's last year or something? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They had one good year. And then Carl Durrell was the Pac-12. Wasn't he? I thought he was the Pac-12 Coach of the Year. That was the bubble year. I thought, can you Google that for me? Why do I think that? I thought Carl Durrell got Pac-12 Coach of the Year in 2020. He did? Well, why doesn't Wikipedia have that? They need more money.
It's Wikipedia. It's not a primary source.
If you look at the names on this, like just two out of his four coaches, pretty big names. Mel Tucker, obviously doing stuff with Michigan State, and then primetime. So it's not for lack of trying. Rick George is trying. It's just Mel Tucker was like, I'm in, 100%. No, I'm not. Yeah, no, out. And then Carl Durrell, really nice dude. Really just fun to talk to. Just as long as you're not a cameraman. 12:18 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's take a quick break. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Preps Rewind. Saturday mornings at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Uh-oh, Angel. Are you getting worried? Auburn lands Michigan State's starting quarterback. Are you worried about that? Is that something that keeps you up at night? Peyton Thorne transfers to Auburn from Michigan State. Something to look out for. Oh, you're hitting the Google box. Checking him out. Learn about him. See if he's a threat.
Seen this story too many times for Auburn.
Texters here on the First Advantage text line. Dixon talking about the high school baseball thing. They will abuse it. There was a game over 10 years ago where, can I say the name? Can I say it? Rhymes with
Flyer.
Well, Spieten. But I won't say the name.
Spleepen.
Where Spieten played somebody and this kid, I'm not going to say the kid's name, threw like 180 pitches because it went extra innings. The other team pitcher did the same. Did they get in trouble for that? I kind of remember that. Did they get in trouble? They should have if he threw 100. Is the rules in Colorado different? I don't know. Codes, the weather guy. Codes is the weather guy from Denver. We have a celebrity that listens to this show from Front Range, from Denver Front Range weather. Did I say that right?
Front Range, yes. And Weather Denver.
Front Range and Weather Denver. It's going to be a fun movie review, isn't it?
Denver and Front Range meteorologist. Cody Wilson,
who tells you about the weather.
Yep.
And what it's going to do, when it's going to do it, and how it's going to do it. Codes. What did he say the weather's going to do today? Is this too hot?
No, that might be just right.
I'm in a flannel.
We're going to be jumping into the 70s and 80s this weekend. Some storm, thunderstorm possibility in the Northeast Plains. And, scattered showers throughout the afternoon over the weekend, but it should be fairly nice out.
Look at you go.
I pay attention.
Codes. Codes texted and said it's a simple game, really.
Game of life.
Talking about Buffs, talking about baseball. Dixon says there was no rule back then. So is this a new thing?
It was because of that kid.
It was probably because of that kid. His arm actually fell off. So they were like, yeah, we should probably put a restriction on these. Stickman, can I? No, we didn't get in trouble. The plot thickens. You were on that team, Stickman.
Digging up some memories.
No, we didn't get in trouble because we didn't have a pitch count back then. But now looking back, we definitely should have. It saved kid's arm and from being overused. So, yeah.
So he doesn't have an arm anymore?
Well, not this kid.
Oh, man.
Well, this kid does. I don't know about the other kid.
The kid that threw 180 pitches.
Could you imagine throwing 180 pitches, though?
Left-hand Larry now.
Yeah, can you imagine throwing that many pitches?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to be fast pitches, but I can throw a ball 120 times.
180 times.
180
fast,
times?
Like pitches. Oh, no. Yeah, I'm talking, you're throwing it hard. Not just you and me playing, having a game of catch, la, 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 la. Ripping it. That would kill me. That would. Yeah. I might just die. Could actually just die.
There's no rotator cuff.
Bye-bye rotator cuff. You're no longer a part of me. Coming up on... before we do that, more importantly, I got to get to this. The Rockies have won 4 in a row.
What?
The Rockies have won 4 in a row.
Say it again.
The Rockies have won 4 in a row. I'm just trying to say it because it's never going to happen again. Will the Rockies...
They'd never win a series again. And they sweep the Brewers.
They swept the Brewers. Is that 2 series wins now? Yeah, they beat Cleveland. They beat Milwaukee. We got their number, bro. We got Milwaukee's number. Undefeated in the month of May. That's exciting, dude. And undefeated. Now, they've only played 3 games. The start of the month has been very nice to the Rockies. They were 2-0 and... No. They were 2-0 in March. Sorry. That was the end of March. It wasn't the beginning of it. April was actually pretty rough. They turn it around. Senzatella's going to the mound tonight. Austin Gomber is going to the mound tomorrow. And then Feltner. Freeland on Monday. Is your boy not in the lineup anymore? Noah Syndergaard?
Noah Syndergaard was in our lineup.
Noah Sampson?
Davis.
Noah Davis. Davis, Noah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think he's in the lineup anymore. He got rocked the other day.
Yeah, that happens.
It does. It does happen. Are you starting to believe? You getting excited again?
I mean, it's definitely fun to see. I'll be honest, I was a little shocked that they, I keep checking Twitter in the afternoon. I'm like, oh, the Rockies are winning?
They just keep winning. Well, they were down 4-0 yesterday. Came back 1-9-6.
They've had tacos twice in this series. Back-to-back games with
feeding
tacos.
Colorado. Do you take advantage of that?
I don't.
What do you?
I saw a tweet yesterday. It said, does anybody actually do the Rockies taco thing?
Do the employees know? Like Taco Bell, isn't it? That's the deal. Yeah. You drive up to Taco Bell. Hey, the Rockies scored 7, so we get what free? How many?
It's just 1 free taco.
I would like my free taco, please. What? The Rockies did what? No, we don't do that, sir.
Probably best just to pull it up on your phone and here's the score
from
today's game.
Here's the score from the game. Like, yeah, would they actually challenge you? Does a manager at Taco Bell email the staff in a memo and say, Rockies won yesterday, So everybody that asks for it gets a free taco.
It's possible.
That would be doing your job.
I mean, you could try it out today.
Any hooligans out there, if you're out and about, could somebody please go through the drive-thru at Taco Bell right now? Oh, Dixon says only at participating locations. So you have to sign up for that.
I guess, yeah. The franchise store would have to say they want to do that.
Can somebody...
I'd imagine it'd be most Colorado Taco Bells.
See, that's... Dixon says many Taco Bells don't participate. Okay.
That's lame.
Is there... I'm challenging hooligans. It's Friday. You can cheat on your diet or whatever you're doing a little bit today. Can somebody go through the Taco Bell thing right now? And it'd be even better if you did it live and just put your phone on and we could hear it. And then you tell them, hey, the Rockies won. Do I get my free taco? Oh, 4 to 6.
Yeah, 4 to 6.
In the morning, probably.
No, p.m.
Okay. That's how they get you, though. It's drive time, though. You're on your way home. So we can't do that live today, apparently. Still would be funny if you drive in. You ruined it, Angel. Now it's done. Because we could have done it live and then heard them say no. And we could have blew this story wide open. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. Load up your thoughts on this. It's our first official movie review. Something fun we're doing on Fridays. Angel stretching it out, cracking the knuckles. Here we go. White Men Can't Jump, starring Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson. In a 1993 movie about hustling on the basketball courts. We're going to discuss it. Is it a starter? Is it on the bench? Does it get cut? The rules are simple. Think of it as a basketball team. You got five starters. You got five on the bench. Is White Man Can't Jump on your roster? Tanner Schwint is a guest reviewer coming in today. One of the hosts of Good Morning NoCo. So we'll get his thoughts as well. I want hooligans chiming in on this. Starter, bench, cut. 30 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Jenny Kavner from AT&T Sportsnet, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Please take your seats.
See, the thing is, you guys look at me, you see the backwards hat, the gray socks, the funky outfit, and you say, now this guy's a chump, am I right?
No. There's a difference between hearing and listening. See, white people, y'all can't hear Jimmy. You listen.
Really listen to me.
What?
White men can't jump.
And now, our feature presentation.
Finally time for the first edition of Brady and Angel Summer Extravaganza of Sports Movie Reviews, both old and new, on Fridays at 12:30 on The Whole Show, sometimes featuring a special guest. Tanner Schwint of Good Morning NoCo is that special guest today, helping us review White Men Can't Jump.
Should have worn my tux. I didn't realize.
It's okay. It's all right.
It was such a premiere.
It is a premiere. White Men Can't Jump was released in 1992, starring Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson. It's a movie that I watched several times growing up. Probably my family let me watch that at a very young age, probably too young of an age, to be real honest with you. There's like 9 million F words in it.
Yes.
Curse words and all of that stuff. Obviously rated R, if any of you were wondering. Well, let's get into it. Tanner, you and Angel are both children compared to me, both in wisdom and grace and age.
Right.
But I'm curious to get your thoughts on this because I watched it when it was still relatively
in its heyday.
This was how people dressed back then. That's kind of what I looked like was Woody Harrelson for the most part. Not so much Wesley Snipes, if only, right? That'd be great. But I want to get into this. We're going to decide at the end of the review, which we will wrap up at 1 o'clock today, whether this is a starter.
Okay.
A bench, a member of the bench unit, or you cut it. And you think of it in basketball terms. And for the sake of this thing, to just keep it cleaner, five starters, five on the bench, the rest are cut.
No edits.
No changes.
No changes in your depth chart. Okay. So when, that's where we're challenging the Hooligans today. When you look at this movie, you have to just know, okay, there's probably going to be some other ones coming up that are going to be good. So do I hold out and just wait? It's kind of like a draft.
Yeah. I thought the movie, first time I'd ever seen it, I sat down and watched this.
Both of you, the first time you've ever seen it.
Right. Yep. I didn't know really what to expect. You know, of course, I knew that there would be basketball involved, but I really like how the movie started out, right? I mean, they got to the point of, here's the main two characters, here's Billy Hoyle, right? You know, here's this goofy white guy, and it's about hustling basketball, you know, hustling basketball games, and I really liked how it started out. The one thing that drove me crazy from the start of this movie to the end of this movie was the lack of dialogue when there was actually like the play going on the court, and there was just, the music was way too loud and way too annoying and way too obnoxious for me. I did not like that part. I liked how it started out, but that music just eventually started driving me crazy.
Let's set the stage here. Tanner's ready to just jump in and start eating the hors d'oeuvres. Let's set the stage. We're there. We're sitting down. We're getting ready to go.
Right.
Wesley Snipes is Sidney, what's his last name? Sidney something or another. Woody Harrelson is Billy Hoyle.
Billy Hoyle.
So, Sidney Dean.
Sidney Dean.
Billy Hoyle.
Billy Hoyle. Okay. So Sidney Dean is already like on the courts. He's playing. He says he owns some of these courts. He's always playing basketball.
It's hard being this good.
He's trying to earn money for his family to get into a new house, then get to a better neighborhood. Billy Hoyle is trying to get money so that, A, they can get some bad guys off their backs.
Right.
We'll explain the bad guys. The Stookies, is that what they
Stookie
are?
Stookie Brothers.
Stookie Brothers, to get those guys off his back. But also to get his girlfriend, Gloria, onto Jeopardy. That's her goal. She wants to get in Jeopardy, win some money, start making a name for herself through that. So both of them are hustling on the court so that they can ultimately make some money here. They don't know each other. So we enter the movie with Billy Hoyle's there just kind of hanging out, hoping he can get on the court at some point. And then the trash talk starts. We won't get into every single detail. He ultimately gets out on the floor. He beats Billy Hoyle beats Sidney, and he beats him twice because then they do a shoot-off at the end of that game. And then something's going through Sidney's head like, huh, I could use this guy.
Right.
I could, you know, people look at him. He's a goofy looking white guy with a goofy looking backwards hat. They're not going to think he has any skills.
And all these courts, I mean, it's all black guys out there playing.
Well, for the most part, yeah.
He's the only white guy out there at any of these. So as the hustle starts to be, you know, to take place, Sidney, thank you, would go to these courts and go, you could pick anybody that you want and that I'll beat you with, knowing that they're all going to pick the goofy looking white dude.
That's the plan.
That's the plan.
Going forward.
And so they start doing this plan, we learn that Billy Hoyle played college ball, that it didn't work out at some point along the way, and they start going into this and find themselves in precarious situations of people trying to stab them, people threatening to shoot them, and things like that. One of the turns that I really liked in this movie was when Sidney hustled Billy Hoyle.
Well, and just the people he's trying to keep off the back were also a part of the hustle with Woody Harrelson with Billy Hoyle. He was supposed to fix a game and lose a game, and then they start talking trash, calling him a goofy white boy and stuff, and then he goes ahead and wins the game, and that screws him up. Very like a snatch type story with Brad Pitt where, you know, he just gets pissed off and wins. So they're after him because of that. Angel, as we set this thing up, we get going, we're getting into it. Tanner said, right when the turning point to me where it got uncomfortable is when we do find out Sidney was hustling Billy Hoyle. It bothered me. Where were you as you were kind of going through the first portion of this movie? Tanner doesn't like the music as far as playing over the top of the dialogue during the games. Initial thoughts from you.
Like I said, I'd never seen this movie before. I've heard some things about it. Like Tanner, I knew it was about basketball and a white guy, so I'm interested. I love the opening scene with the singing, the little singing group there. They're singing
you
like the church
it?
Gospel.
Yeah, I
got this
the
thought in my
was
head.
Cool.
It went on for way too long.
I got this thought in my head, and it's like, you know, it's the goofy white boy, and he's trying to, you know, learn about black culture, especially in the 90s. Obviously, basketball was big, especially in California, and, you know, the courts and all that. And they talked about King and Duck, like the guys that ruled the courts before them.
King and Duck.
And I like him. He just walks up to the singing group, and he's just standing there just dancing like a goofy white guy. And he gives him money. He's like, no, my dad was a pastor. You know, I love this stuff. So I thought that was kind of cool just seeing, you know, we asked earlier if it could hold up to today's times, and I think, yeah, I think it's kind of a reverse racism kind of story.
Kind of, yeah.
Where, I mean, you know, the white guy's embracing another culture, and he's actually pretty good at it.
There was a line in there. What was it that Sydney said to Billy about passing? It's like something about you come out here and you make these great passes, white boy. And I'm like, is that how they talk to Nikola Jokic in the NBA? Is that what Probably. They say to him? You come out here and you can get lucky with a few passes. That doesn't make you a player. The movie basically shows you, like, it really takes you into the relationship with Billy and Gloria, who's played by
Rosie Perez.
And I thought she's got that sassy.
She's a fun character.
Yeah, she's a fun character.
This is just me. I didn't love the tie-in for the Jeopardy stuff.
Really?
I didn't think it was very well done.
I did because, again, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen this movie, you need to be a person because it was released in 1992. The way he gets her into Jeopardy, I mean, he gets her into Jeopardy.
So dumb.
By gambling. And yes, it was. Like,
it was so dumb.
It's Sydney's friend.
It's a little coincidental. It's like, convenient. Oh, I just happen to know this guy that works on the lot of Jeopardy.
Well, and I didn't think that they made the narrative of her getting on Jeopardy apparent enough. I thought it was just like one mention. Oh, this is their dream.
Every time they go to the scene, she's studying.
Yeah, she's studying it.
I wasted my day learning about foods that start with Q and books of the Bible.
That's great, but they never told you why she was like.
Because that's her dream.
I for a long time thought she was trying to get back to go to college. That's why I didn't think they made it apparent enough that that was her dream, was that she wanted to be on Jeopardy. And having to make a half-court hook shot to get her. Like,
well, it's so cheesy. It's Hollywood, you know. You got to run into just convenient stuff. Sydney's buddy, that also is part of the hustle against Billy Hoyle, just happens to be the security guard at the same studios that they do Jeopardy. And he's like,
no one gets on this lot.
Get me in there. And he's like, fine, no one gets on this lot. And then Wesley Snipes pulls out the Godfather thing. And he's like, I'll owe you.
Yeah.
And she's like, fine, make a half-court shot and you get in. If not, you pay me more money.
Half-court hook shot.
Half-court hook shot. And, of course, Billy Hoyle is a legendary basketball player. Sinks it, no problem at all.
First try.
She gets on Jeopardy. Now, at this point, again, he has an issue with gambling big time. Like, he thinks he can beat anybody when it comes to sports and all that stuff. He's going to gamble it away. He wins. He gets in a tournament after they find out that Sydney had hustled Billy. The the girlfriend slash wife come together and say, you guys, you got to work together, both make money. We're both in a crappy situation. Team up here, which I all thought happened really fast. I mean, this happened in like the span of 2 days.
Yeah, I honestly got confused when Sydney's hustle was happening because I thought, okay, are they acting like they're mad at each other to throw the other team off and this is part of their hustle? And then it finds out, oh, he was already hustling these two guys before Billy even shows up.
Yeah.
And then it's to get them to the point where they're all together on the same page, and then Billy comes in.
I thought at that point they were going to help each other out, and then, but
because he like stole like $1,700 from him.
Yeah, the fact that Sydney though was like, "You hustled me first," which he did. That's what Billy does. He walks onto a court,
right?
It's not personal,
but it was $62 the first time.
$1,700,
and there had been no personal relationship developed between them.
Yeah, what Sydney's hustle was way worse because it was more personal.
And his thing was like, "Oh, I had a bad game. My shots weren't going in. I wasn't D'ing up the right way."
Right.
And I saw that like, "Oh, okay, he just had a bad game."
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh, okay, he was hustling these guys.
Yeah, I mean, you know what, to
they
be honest,
could have spent more time on that.
I forgot that Sydney, and I've seen this movie like 20 times, but again, like 15, 12, 7, Dad, thanks for that. I watched this a lot. But I forgot about Sydney hustling Billy. And so when the game ends and Billy's like, dude, Sydney, sometimes the ball just doesn't go in the hoop, man. You know, it's okay. And then he gets home and it's Gloria that's like, You hustled, man. I mean, he hustled. We're going over there. That would be my wife. Like, we're going over there to get your money back. I don't want to go. This is embarrassing. But he walks in, and sure enough, all the dudes that they played against in the hustle were there watching a basketball game with Sydney. And so then Gloria and the wife get together, and they come together. You know,
I love the little moment where Billy's obviously upset with these guys, and he's up in their face, and they're all arguing back and forth. And then the game that they're watching, there's like a big shot that happens, and they all turn to it, and they're all like best friends again.
Oh yeah, and Billy, it was so off, like weird with Billy, with Woody Harrelson, because he turns around. He's like, come on, make that. Oh, yeah. And then suddenly, it's so 80s.
Woody
yeah.
is
all just sitting down, buddying it up.
Woody's
watching.
A great actor. And he's one of my favorites, but him in this role is so weird.
Well, for you guys to have seen him in so many things, like when I watched him, he was still up and coming. I mean, he had just Cheers was his thing.
Right.
And he was just starting to come up, and he was getting hot at that point.
I thought he played the goofy white boy really, really well, actually. I really liked what Woody Harrelson brought to it. You know, the scene, and we heard the clip from it of when they're listening to Jimi Hendrix, right? And you're not.
You can't hear Jimi. And then he puts on country. That's right there, Tanner.
Yes. Then he puts on some George Jones and goes, no, you're not hearing him. Yep. You're not hearing him. Heard him. I liked that. I thought that was really good. There was a lot of racial undertones that mm-hmm. went on in this movie. What I liked about it was that it was the undertone. You could still enjoy the movie while you're still seeing this race dynamic play out, where the white guy is in a situation where he's not really accepted by a ton. You know, that's even mentioned, like, you don't want to go across this bridge. After
you
got to
get
time.
Out of here out before.
Yeah,
yeah.
You don't want to do any of this stuff. And I thought that was interesting as well. The issue, as we kind of stuck on this one moment, the Gloria and the wife, that was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in my life, where it's like, no, I ain't giving you the money back, but maybe we can have a plan.
Let's team up. And
yeah.
Like, the wife doesn't know if Billy Hoyle's a good player or a good dude to team up with, but they're like, there just happens to be a tournament coming up at the end of the week.
Two-man tournament. That tournament was maybe my favorite part of the movie.
Billy Hoyle is
talking that smack.
Yeah. Oh, that scene is so
fun.
Well,
because he's trying to piss up. He's like, most guys don't play good basketball when they're mad. However, Billy thinks that Sidney plays his best basketball when he's mad, so it's twofold. He's trying to piss everybody off.
Yeah, I thought that was well done, seeing Woody, you know, push that far, and that's what, you know, he's like, dude, you're crossing the line here. You're about to commit suicide.
I'm in the zone.
And I thought that was one of my favorite parts of the movie.
So ultimately, you know, Billy gets his wife or his girlfriend in on Jeopardy. He was the guy that did it. He gets her back by playing her a song, and I'm guessing.
Well, first they win the tournament.
Yes,
and then
they
split the $5,000.
Yes, and then
Billy bets it on that I can dunk.
That he can't dunk. And that part pissed me off so much. It makes me so mad because it's like you won the money. You're not even gambling it on an actual game. You're gambling it on. They get in an argument over who can dunk, and Sidney's like, dude, don't do this. Don't do this. He's like, it doesn't matter to me.
Like, you can do it or not. I don't care. And Billy's like, no, I'm going to show you I can do this.
And I didn't like that part because if it didn't matter to Wesley Snipes, then don't bet. Right? I mean,
he kept talking trash. He just kept going.
I mean, how many times?
Because it kind of gives off like, okay, yeah, you say you can do it, but yeah, I don't know. I've never seen it.
I've been on the golf course or whatever and made bets a billion times, and I know for a fact that this person can't do it. And I'm on the right side, and I'm like, put your money where your mouth is. Yada, yada. Bet goes down. They don't do it. I'm like, keep your money. Just know that I was right. Like, that was.
But they're not friends, Tanner.
But we've established that Billy has a gambling issue.
But they're not friends.
That was the end. But they were.
They've only known each other for like two days.
Okay.
In the span of this thing.
Okay, so.
You know this guy for a few days and he stole $1,700 from you and now you got to play a tournament again.
There's no point until the end
where they're like.
Sidney.
So why did Sidney in his darkest time go find Billy Hoyle to go? If they weren't friends, why do they go to that point?
So fast forward, we get that. He lost all the money. Gloria's pissed. She leaves him.
Gets her back by getting her back.
She goes to Jeopardy. He comes in. She doesn't want to talk to him, but he plays her a guitar song. They're back together again. She gives Billy a cut of her winnings and says, take it, do whatever, but I want you to get a job.
I trust you with it.
Go get a job. Well, then Sidney comes back. He's in some bad times because they get broken
into. The house gets broken into. Their house is robbed.
They're still screwed. They're trying to move into the house. They have a little kid,
mm-hmm.
and so he goes to Billy, although he's got all these friends, but he goes to Billy, the guy, the white guy you just met, and he's like, I need you. I helped you out. So Billy feels obligated to help him, but Gloria's like, no, if you go into this tournament and you use that money, it's officially over.
Wasn't the scene where their house got... That was one of the most heart-wrenching things for me.
Sucked, dude.
Because, there was, again, you talk about the racial undertone that comes into that. They're in a poverty-stricken neighborhood, and she's screaming, a baby on her hip, screaming.
Yep.
Somebody out here saw something. Like, and I'm like, I've been blessed.
And
I've never had,
said,
to,
yes.
had to live in that situation, but that is an all-too reality.
Yeah.
Too much of a reality for a lot of people. So that was really heartbroken for me. And then when he goes and sees Billy and this and that, and Billy gets all excited, and I'm like, dude, there's no way he does this again. And he even comes to his senses. But even the thought that he was possibly going to do it is enough for Gloria to leave. And so they go and do the final tournament and win the big one. And he gets the guys paid off.
Yep.
The Stookies?
The Stookies. He gets it paid off. It's done. But then Gloria.
Did you think he was dead?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought he was
dead. I paused it and I said, wait, whoa.
No, that would have been terrible.
Is he dead?
So I like this, though, because it wasn't the Rudy ending. It was, okay, you won a basketball tournament. You won some money. Great.
See,
Gloria's gone. You paid off your debts. You don't have money. You're just now even.
I was expecting Gloria to be back at the end. Like, I was expecting maybe she would have gone to the game to watch them and see what happens.
You're right.
But I also get her reasoning because we've already seen twice now in the movie that he's gambled away all of his money.
And he's going to keep doing it.
The better ending is him actually dying. The better ending to this movie is him actually dying.
It was not that kind of movie.
I mean,
it's not Harry Potter.
Stookie brothers aren't—they never felt like a threat.
They were just kind of like, all right, Billy, hey, you're doing business
you need
with
them some money.
No, but then why are you running so fast from him and stuff like that?
He doesn't want to get beat up.
No,
he doesn't want to pay him money.
The better ending is if Billy Hoyle dies.
All right, 12:51. We got to give our official reviews on this coming up on the other side. Great job by you guys. Very first movie review. Is it a starter? Are we putting White Men Can't Jump on the bench? Or are we cutting it? It's not good enough to watch. We'll talk about it next.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to The Whole Show on KFK.
Can we hear this? I don't know.
I don't want to. I hate Jimi Hendrix, man. I know. You should see the look Brady's giving me right now.
I'm not.
Excuse me while I touch the sky.
I'm not a diehard Jimi Hendrix fan. You just can't hate him.
Too much of that guitar, man.
There's never too much guitar.
I know.
Voodoo Child is amazing.
With Jimi Hendrix, I'm just not a big fan of his style of singing.
Right.
It's not that, but the guitar.
See, and that's the part.
Amazing.
Too much guitar, man. Too much guitar. We were just talking during the break about some of the trash talk that went on in this movie as we review White Man Can't Jump. It is fun stuff, right?
I wonder if it was mostly improv or if they actually wrote some of that stuff because it's just so rapid fire. Like, there's no way you could have said that all just as a script.
Yeah,
there was probably some of it. But you know, we were talking too. I really didn't love the Jeopardy thing. It was basketball, and then boom, Jeopardy. And Billy's in a button-up shirt.
Stories.
But Billy's in this button-up dress shirt. Like, he hasn't dressed like that the entire movie.
I think if, you know, this movie's like, you know, almost 2 hours long. I think if you wanted to cut it to an hour and a half, you'd get rid of that Jeopardy scene and just say, oh yeah, she went to it. But you've been setting up this whole thing with her to go to.
I don't think they set it up very well.
I thought it was...
Like, every time you see her, she's in the little book studying. Yeah, she's like, oh, ask me questions. Yeah. I know this stuff.
It's mentioned once, if I'm right, it was mentioned once that she was going on, that she was studying for Jeopardy.
It was mentioned multiple times.
It was mentioned multiple times.
Like, every time he goes back to her apartment, they talk about
it. To the apartment, she's got the book in her hand, and she's studying for Jeopardy. And she's like, letters.
Like you said, I thought she was trying to get back into college. So if you're not I'm just saying, if you're not paying close attention, you're confused by the Jeopardy thing.
They did mention it, but maybe if you stopped for a second. Okay, so we ran out of time. We're going to give our official review on the other side here. Apparently, these are going to take 45 minutes. Dixon's bringing in his review. Bring your reviews in for White Men Can't Jump. Start it, bench it, or cut it. We'll talk about it, give the full review on the other side. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy.